Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, August 19th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. If you're in tech support, save time and money by supporting your clients and colleagues remotely with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
I'm Dr. Kiki.
Behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys, how are you?
And we got a lot of tech news today for you. Facebook very rudely went and had their announcement at 4:30 Pacific time so that we wouldn't know what it was yesterday.
Right after.
And then Becky said, like, oh, there was a rumor going around that it's not going to be what we thought it was. But Becky, kind of turned out to be what we thought it was.
It's what we thought it was. Facebook announced Places, their location service, so you can check in. And maybe we should let them explain what it is.
Yeah, you probably heard about it already, but here you go. Here's the announcement.
But we have never until now provided a way for you to actually learn where your friends like to hang out. And I think that's a really important part of who people are.
With Places, I can open up my phone, see what's around me, see what's cool. You know, where are my friends at?
You can now say, I'm here. And if, you know, people want to join you, they can.
It's a great way for you to let your friends know in kind of a lightweight way. If they want to come and meet you, you're hanging out at the park.
Yeah, let's meet up at the park, Tom.
Yeah, I want a lightweight way to tell you that. You know, because texting you might just be a little too intrusive. We'll get to when you should text and phone later. But Places, it's just, you know what? You'll know I'm there. It's cool. I don't have to tell you. If you want to see me. It's cool.
It's a pretty direct ripoff from Foursquare in terms of check-ins, and the concept is very similar. But I think already they're seeing a backlash. The ACLU of Northern California has issued a response right away saying they had a real issue with the fact that friends could tag where you were and that you had to go into Facebook and turn that feature off. Was that the thing that jumped out to you guys as being like, whoa, opt out?
Isn't that just pretty typical for any new Facebook option? I mean, everything. It's like, oh, okay, I know Facebook has something new coming out, so I just know that I need to go into my security settings now and make sure that there's not something that needs to be changed.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody's freaking out about this idea that if I'm at a party with Kiki, I can check her in. And it sounds horrible. Like, what if Kiki doesn't want anyone to know she's at this party, right?
Even though I'm the one dancing on the table.
Thing is, it will send a note to her and say, do you want to be checked in at this party, yes or no? And if you say not now, then you won't get checked in. Now, the problem is, if you say yes, I think it always allows that person to check you in Places from then on.
So it's not just that one time option.
And I think that's crazy. There is a way to go and turn this off. So it just disables the ability of someone else to check you in. There's a good blog posting about it from Bill Kamek. Basically, what you do is you go to your Facebook account. You click account up there in the top right corner. And you click privacy settings. Under that account menu, you click privacy settings. In the sharing on Facebook section, you go and you click customize settings, and you scroll down to things others share. it's down in the.
It's so easy.
It's not convoluted yet.
Things others share, and it says friends can check me into Places. And you say disabled, and then that will stop them from being able to check you in. That's all you do.
That's it. I mean, it's just like 27 steps. But the bigger complaints, I think, that are more interesting is, one, when you check in someplace, anyone else who's there gets to see that you're there. So your name and your Facebook profile, perhaps not all of your information, but certainly your name is available to other people there. The first question out of the gates after they did the whole presentation, one reporter said, okay, so here's the scenario. There's a party at my house. Someone creates a location for it and says they're checking in. Then my address is on Facebook. And if that person shares publicly, My address is on the internet, it's wide open. Can I remove that tag?
Well, it's not exactly your address. It's your GPS location, which is just as bad, but just to be clear.
Close enough.
And Facebook basically said, no, you can't remove that tag. You can petition to have it removed. But I thought that was kind of uncool.
Yeah. There is a warning that pops up. I created the Twit Cottage on the Facebook app today, and it said, you know, if this is not your own location, make sure that you have permission to add it from your friend, and then you press OK and it adds it. So at least they're acknowledging, like, let's warn you that, you know, you're adding someone else's location here.
We should also note we have a lot of international viewers, and this isn't available outside of the U.S. yet. And I'm not sure that they gave an exact timeline as to when that would happen. No Android so far, although, Kiki, you were using Android through the browser? How are you doing it?
You can use it through the browser, yeah. And it's I've tried it on my laptop and also on my Android phone, and it's you know, just a very simple through the browser. You click on places, and it asks you where you are and if you'd like to check in, and you can check in and check your friends in if you feel like it too.
Right after all this went down, Baratunde Thurston had this great, he's a big Foursquare guy, he's the mayor of this, mayor of that, and he had this post on Twitter that says, is it just me or did Foursquare just become the mayor of Irrelevantville? It's pretty unbelievable that Gowalla and Foursquare had these burgeoning businesses, and now a lot of people are going, Foursquare, dude, what's next?
Well, supposedly by the end of this week, Foursquare is going to be integrated into this, so you can choose to push your location from Foursquare into the Facebook location. There's going to be a Facebook Connect kind of option.
Yeah, for Gowalla, Foursquare, and one other, right? I
believe there's Booyah. One.
Booyah, thank you.
Which is
you.
A little bit like Gowalla. But Foursquare doesn't think that this is a bad thing for them, right?
No, their development, what was the guy's name? He's their VP of Mobile and Partnerships. Holger Ludorf was interviewed by the folks at Mashable right after the event. And Gowalla and Foursquare were right up there on stage going, rah, rah. I'm wondering what Zuckerberg snuck into their Kool-Aid. But listen to what the Foursquare guy has to say.
No, I think it's, you know, as I said earlier, I think it validates the space. I think you know, Facebook is clearly... recognize that the location check-in space is something that is of tremendous value to end users. And so from that perspective, it's great if somebody as large as Facebook comes in because it makes people realize, oh, wait a second, there must be something there, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
he makes a good point. It validates that there's interest in location, but it does kind of eat their business model for lunch.
It doesn't eat it completely, though. I mean, Facebook took the status update, few more characters than 140 characters for Twitter, but it's a very similar idea to what Twitter was doing with their status update and the way that their timeline is presented in their platform right now. So, you know, it's not necessarily taking the business away from them if people do decide to continue in with pushing from Foursquare to Facebook and connecting the apps that they already know.
Stewie in the chat room says he's in the UK and he's got places in his app.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. And the web address, I don't know if we said it earlier, for those of you using a browser, is touch.facebook.com.
All right. There is other non-Facebook news today.
Really?
Strange as that may seem.
Is there a world outside of Facebook?
Intel just bought McAfee. So does that
Huge
mean that McAfee
deal.
Coliseum becomes the Intel Coliseum?
Oh.
No, probably not. They're going to run McAfee as an independent business within Intel. But a lot of people are speculating that they are going to try to take some of the security technology that McAfee has and roll it into their hardware so that somehow you would have virus prevention built into the chip rather than having to run it as software all the time. It would probably be a combined solution. You wouldn't want to rely just on that, but that would be a big advantage for Intel over AMD if they said, like, hey, you know what, we've got security right there on the die.
So this, I was thinking about this deal. So this is a huge deal. It's over $7.5 billion they paid for McAfee, and you know, Intel already has 80% market share, give or take. And so why would they be making this huge acquisition just to compete with AMD? So I called down to Rob Enderle, who's a Silicon Valley analyst, one of the best guys in the business. And he said right out of the gates, oh, no, this is about mobile. And I'm thinking mobile, okay, tablets and phones. And he said, no, in-car systems. He thinks this has to do with the Intel Migo platform, and that they know that if they want to get into automobiles, then antivirus and mission critical protection of cars, where if you have any kind of virus inside of those computers, it's going to really undermine people's confidence. So that was his first thought out of the gates. Cars, Migo. Secondly, Intel chips optimized for antivirus. So basically, that is what you're talking about in terms of it may not be on the chip that it's running, but the systems are all running. In a way, what they're basically saying is I think they're feeling the threat from viruses as a PC issue, and they're getting involved in optimizing antivirus at a very, very low level so that they can try and calm people's fears. Third thing, Intel Android leverage. So they see Android as weak in its integration with antivirus, and they think this is a play to get them in bed more with Google with antivirus. You buy that?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think there's some merit to that. I'm not sure about the car part of it, but the idea of sort of, you know, building the antivirus in, I think that makes more sense than what I was mentioning earlier about building it onto the die.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the other points I think that's interesting is I said, do you think they'll have any antitrust issues? And he didn't think so because Microsoft bought Security Essentials a while back and they didn't have any regulatory issues. So this seems like a pretty free and clear deal. But I think it'll be fascinating to see what they do with it.
I think there's car security to be worried about. I'm just not sure that Migo running embedded is necessarily where that security is an issue. Although, if it's net connected, which they all will be, it's going to have some sort of antivirus. It just that's less a reason for Intel to spend $7.68 billion to acquire McAfee. They could have bought some McAfee software to put into Migo much cheaper than that. So there's got to be more to that, something that they would really need to have the expertise in-house to make this all worthwhile.
Well, the New York Times also makes the point that it's not just about strategy or leverage. It's about cash flow. So Intel sells products up front and then they're done. Whereas you look at the subscription model, that's a totally different play for Intel and it's ongoing sustenance for them.
If you want your chip not to explode, keep paying us.
That's right.
We will hijack your chip.
Yeah, but that makes it pretty stable, though, in terms of the market value, and it's not going to go up and down a lot. So what does that really do for Intel's bottom line? And how much is that going to really increase them? It hasn't yet.
Well, if you look at Microsoft as an example of how you can up that subscription money, right? Where you have the antivirus installed on almost every Windows machine.
Oh, yeah.
And then say, now you're going to have it installed on every machine that has an Intel chip,
yes,
including OS X. Then you've got a huge install base. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you monetize that, but they've got to be drooling a little bit at that thought.
Yeah, and the revenue from McAfee, they're making almost $2 billion a year, and that's on very little actual physical production. I mean, they're talking about keeping a virus database and pushing out updates. It's a pretty good business model.
Yeah. RIM is changing their business model a little bit. According to a report on Ars Technica, they're going to be using a QNX-developed operating system for the rumored BlackPad tablet. Now, this is a rumor reporting about a rumor here, but we're 60% confident that there's going to be a BlackBerry tablet. We're about 57% confident that it's going to be called BlackPad, as ridiculous as that is. And QNX was bought by RIM. Now, QNX is best known for embedded systems. I remember back in the old days, you would download QNX because it would fit on a floppy disk. It was a cool OS, and so it was able to go into things like automotive navigation systems, cardiac monitors, networking hardware, and apparently even tanks. It can be embedded into tanks. So RIM is, I guess, trying to build something from the ground up because it was harder to adapt BlackBerry OS 6 to a tablet system than it would be to use their in-house, already-owned QNX OS and build a nice, solid tablet system from scratch right on top of that.
I think this is also a marketing play because if you look at a system that's already being used for real, again, mission-critical things like cardiac monitors, you don't want that failing. I think RIM is making a play to say, hey, we build it in-house, we don't mess around, and we keep it simple, and it's always on, reliable. And I think that as you go forward, you're going to see the BlackBerry OS and BlackBerry and RIM in general pushing reliability and security as their differentiator against the iPhone and against Android devices.
All right, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Go to Assist Express. If your job is in tech support, there's an easy way to have you save time and money. It can make you look like a hero. You don't have to put on a cape. You just use Go to Assist Express. Brought to you by our friends at Citrix. It's an easy and secure way to support your clients and colleagues. It enables you to see a problem on their machine without having to be there. So you start your session with just one click. You send the person you're helping an instant email invitation, and it works on both PCs and Macs. They don't have to have it installed before you start the session. You share your screen. They share theirs. You see the same problem they're seeing, and it has a live chat, so you can have a conversation online if you'd like. You diagnose the problem, and you access their desktop remotely. GoToAssist tells you what software's running, operating system programs, and then you fix the problem, and you're done. You never had to get out of your chair. You should get out of your chair later for exercise, but you don't need to get out of it right then to use GoToAssist Express. It's specifically designed for small businesses and professionals. So try it out for free for 30 days. If you don't believe me, or especially if you do believe me, GoToAssist.com/TNT is the place. Try it out for free for 30 days, and we thank them for their support. A PS3 has been hacked via a USB dongle. It's all over the internets today. Essentially, PSX-scene.com was the first to report that the PS3 mod chip has been tested and confirmed working. At least the first place I saw it reported, anyway. Working off a USB dongle, it appears to be relatively user-friendly and even claims not to void your warranty. I'm not sure about that. But this was made necessary by the fact that Sony decided they're not going to allow you to install a third-party operating system on the PS3 anymore. So this is your only way to so-called jailbreak a PS3.
Chat room seems pretty excited about it. And they say it's about time the PS3 got hacked.
It is about time, and Sony had to expect that this was going to happen once they took away the ability to run Linux natively. So there you go. You just you put in the USB dongle, and you can play lots of. You can back up your games. You can do all kinds of stuff. So check it out. Sony PS3. We'll have a link in our show notes at wiki.twit.tv. Also in Sony news, the next generation PSP is said to have touch controls on the back.
What?
Touchscreen control on the back. We've heard this patented by Apple in certain methods. They've toyed with the idea of putting a touch-sensitive screen on the back of a device so that you wouldn't have to have your thumbs getting in the way of the gameplay.
Right.
You could just
move
things around on the back.
Yeah.
But see, the thing that's funny is, so if you're listening to this and you can't see, imagine that you're holding a sandwich that is the PSP, and normally you're used to thumb computing with it, but now you're doing it with your index fingers and your ring finger. And I've tried this on the Motorola Backflip. I don't know if you guys remember that from CES, where you're actually using your fingers on the back of the LED screen to move your cursor or manipulate. And it's kind of disorienting. I'm sure you get used to it, but it was not intuitive for me. Does it seem, when you think about it, does it seem weird to game with your pointers like that?
No, it doesn't seem intuitive, but then is the, X, triangle, circle, is that intuitive?
or even keystrokes on a keyboard.
Yeah, you get used to it. You learn, you get that learning curve out of the way, and then suddenly you're going to see people, just going crazy with their fingers on the back.
And maybe it'll be better for carpal tunnel.
You think?
Who knows? I don't know if you're not just using your thumbs and twisting
your
wrists.
You're not in the front all the time. You're using
it's more natural.
Start a whole new disease.
I have yet to find a game that doesn't absolutely wreck my tendon. So I don't know. I think it could be Scrabble and I'm limping along.
Australia is considering iPhone app censorship. They have pretty strict video game censorship in Australia. Video games sold in the country must pay between $470 and $2,040 to have their game classified, and they don't have an 18-plus rating in Australia. So if it's not found suitable for a 15-year-old, it's banned for sale in Australia. Now they've got their eyes on the Apple marketplace saying, hey, they're not paying to have those video games classified. We don't know if these are safe for 15-year-olds. Watch out. Under current Australian legislation, they might start going after the iPhone.
I wonder if the marketplace will step forward. If, to get into the marketplace, you have, Apple looks and decides which apps are going to make it into the marketplace in the first place. Maybe there's something they can add to their assessment to make sure that it's good in Australia.
Well, when you think about it, they're so strict about what they allow in there already. I can't imagine they would fall afoul of these ratings too often.
Paper toss.
Yeah.
You're out of there.
But a lot of Australians.
This sounds like a cash grab to me. Yeah. That's what the chat room saying too. And I think that this is where Apple has to earn that 30% that they charge developers for the games that they put in the iTunes store. Because if you have small game developers, this is very prohibitive in terms of entering their market. And yeah. I think Apple needs to sort of basically use the collective power of the iTunes store and say, hey, we will help you, or can we not apply, the rating system that we have, or Apple should just earn their money. That's all I'm saying.
You don't think they do enough, Becky? Don't they do enough? I mean, they do so much.
Oh, they do so much for you.
They're just going to pull out of Australia. So what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, fine, we'll see you.
No,
that's what the developers are afraid of anyway. And what goes for Apple would go for Android and BlackBerry and Microsoft and everybody else. So they're just the biggest marketplace. That's the reason they're getting picked on. A new probability-based processor is causing quite a stir. It's a DARPA-funded project that Lyric Semiconductor, an MIT spinoff, has put together, and it allows calculations involving probabilities instead of your good old-fashioned ones and zeros.
Yeah, so it's a little bit fuzzy logic.
Yeah, it's
it has to do with the amount of voltage that comes into the chip. So zero voltage is zero, and full voltage up to the max that can be taken is one.
Yeah, and so then, basically the gate's open or it's not based on that voltage.
Right, but so in normal chips, it's either zero or one and that's it. But with these chips that they're talking about, it's all of the minor voltages in between zero and one, because you have a whole ramp up that occurs between zero and one that can actually be calculated and quantified by these chips.
Yeah, they're using analog signals instead of digital ones. And these logic gates could be used for lots of decision-making technologies, things that what the military wants to use it for is when they have incomplete data, maybe a
for
fuzzy
doing
picture.
Math.
Yeah.
Anything involving, I don't know, fractions.
Yeah.
I thought the best part of this whole story that you guys have completely failed to mention was the headline that Ars had on this. Probabilistic processors possibly pack potent punch.
Peter Piper and picked a peck.
I know. And I think that's a perfect lead in, Tom, to our news fuse.
Oh, yes, but I had a thing I was going to say. Darn it.
Oh, okay. Go. Yeah, I'll just say probabilistic processors possibly pack potent punch again. So you go right ahead. Go.
All right. So with these processors, going back to the story of Intel and McAfee, so if Intel were to somehow piggyback on these processors, then we could get these fuzzy logic processors into cars and maybe be able to have some really interesting spam and virus protection in lots of interesting places.
Yeah, good spam protection using Bayesian filters is one of the things that this would be really good at because of its ability to take advantage of that probability.
Yes.
Okay, now news fuse.
Go. North Korea has created an official Twitter account at @Ryminzok. Short for the Korean word for our people. Now, this goes along with its YouTube account that was launched last month. And I personally can't wait to see transparent government done right for once.
For the second quarter of 2010, worldwide PC processor unit shipments increased 3.6% and revenues rose 6.2% compared with the first quarter. And according to market researcher IDC, that's better than usual. IDC isn't so excited about the upcoming third quarter, though. They're expecting August sales to pretty much bring all those numbers back down.
According to Millennial Media, iOS pulled in 55% of mobile ad requests in July. However, that was flat from June, and Android saw a steep rise, passing RIM to garner 19% of the market. But it's not all bad news, as all three platforms saw their total number of ad requests grow.
TechRadar.com reports that Google is set to call the next iteration of its mobile OS Android Honeycomb. following on from the tablet-friendly Gingerbread platform. Few details of what this upgrade will bring are available, but it sounds like it may be incremental, and I think with Honeycomb as the name, maybe it will be spearheaded by Queen Bee Marissa Mayer.
Honeycomb, won't you be my...
And tasty.
Toshiba announced Wednesday at the Magnetic Recording Conference in San Diego that it's made a breakthrough in its research of bit-patterned media. That's a hard drive technology that could allow for 3.5-inch hard drives of up to 25 terabytes. The technology is sadly still in the prototype stage.
But Google may cooperate with Motorola for Android 3.0 tablet, says Digitimes Research. This comes on the heels of HTC announcing a partnership with Google to build a Chrome tablet.
Engadget is reporting that the Droid Pro is the global version of the Droid 2. Consumer Reports has also given the Droid 2 the thumbs up in their first look, despite rumors of a few antenna issues. And finally, in Android phone news, LG's Envy Touch 2 will be Android power instead of running on their weird proprietary software that they've had on phones in the past.
And finally, a TNT fan who only goes by the name PC in his email sent us a news tip that net neutrality is being discussed again, not by the FCC, not by Google, not by members of the Open Internet Coalition, but instead by Microsoft and Yahoo, who apparently felt a little left out when Google and Verizon got together with their big net neutrality plan that they didn't tell anyone else about. But being sort of fickle, Verizon reportedly attended these new meetings as well because they're net neutrality sluts.
That's
and
right.
We wait another controversial and confusing edict on net neutrality soon. Ooh, boy. All right, let's finish off with our announcement of McAfee's most dangerous woman on the internet.
Beware, beware, beware.
It's not Kiki.
No.
It's not Becky.
No.
It's not Sarah.
No.
It's not Molly Wood.
No.
It's Cameron Diaz.
What?
Yeah.
How is she so dangerous?
She's actually replaced Jessica Biel because when you do a search on the name Cameron Diaz, you have a 1 in 10 chance of clicking on a website that is malware.
Oh, it's not going to actually land a mob hit on you?
Not so much. Well, it could lead to that. There's a lot of, you know, Russian malware and whatever. Cameron Diaz screensavers yields a risky site about 19% of the time. Cameron is followed by Julia Roberts, and Jessica has fallen to third place.
Poor Jessica.
I know. And there's only two dudes in the top 10, so you know they're targeting... They're not going after the ladies here. They had Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise in the top 10. So really, they're just trying to target dudes who are trying to be fanboys.
And everyone can really breathe a sigh of relief. President Barack Obama and former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin are at the bottom of the list.
Okay, so it's totally safe
totally
to search
safe.
On former Governor Palin and President Obama.
Totally safe.
Very good. Yeah. Let's move on and take a look at what's on the calendar.
On the calendar today, we have some interesting stuff. Just reported were earnings from HP and Dell. And while they're not, you know, right about expectations, the interesting thing here is Dell's revenue was up 22%. And HP, you'll remember, this is the last quarter that they were under the direction of Mark Hurd, the ousted CEO. And they slightly beat expectations with revenue up 6%. So we'll see if that has any influence, Hurd's departure, on their next set of earnings. Portal 2 coming February 9th, 2011.
I know who in this room is excited.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally expected to be released last quarter of 2010, so you'll have to wait a little longer.
Ooh.
Tom.
That's because video games are hard to make.
Yes.
That's what they said in their press release when they delayed it.
Valve said it's hard. Windows, Mac OS X, and retail versions for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 platforms coming. Next up in the calendar, Lon sent us a note. He's a viewer, a watcher, a listener, whatever we want to call him. Remember we used to call them viewsers? They're viewsers.
Tech fans.
Tech fan Lon sent us a note saying, the FCC is holding a public hearing in Minneapolis tonight on the future of the internet. So for all of you who are in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I think you should pass on heading up to the Macaroni Grill in Edina and instead go find out what's going to happen with the internets and let us know.
Don't go to Solid Gold either. Go to this.
Oh.
Twit, as I have mentioned on previous shows, is going to be at Dragon Con. Me and Brian Brushwood will be there. We'll be doing a bunch of live performances. I don't know. They're not performances. Panels, walking around, talking to people. And we're going to have a meetup Saturday night, September 4th at the Sundial Restaurant, top of the West End. So come see us between 6 and 8 p.m. Atlanta time on Saturday night, September 4th. All right, we got another video message. This one's from Kobe. He has a good theory on what near-field communication in Apple devices might be used for.
Hey, TNT. The other day you were discussing how Apple hired someone with the knowledge of near-field communications. One thing that that might be is, a while ago, Apple acquired a patent for iTravel, a system of checking in at airports that included near-field communications. So you may want to check that out. The link is on your screen. Thank you very much, and love the show.
I love the fact that he did his own lower third. That extra points for that. We'll have that URL in our show notes as well, in case you missed it, and link to his screencast. But really interesting theory. I'd forgot. I'd remember the thing about the iPhone or Apple having a patent on having tickets for theater stuff.
Right.
But I had forgotten about the airline thing.
Yeah, and the way they do it now is they generate a QR code that you have to get in a browser, and then you have to physically place it down onto a glass reader when you go through the line. And so I think this would really speed the process
significantly. Yeah.
You just, you know, you got to show that you're holding the iPhone. They scan it. All right, that's your ticket. Thank you. Check you right in. Done. Love that. Mm-hmm. On Monday, we hit on the conundrum of whether when it was appropriate to text someone and when it got too complicated and it was time to call them, and which was what the etiquette about that was. And I had said, I wish the etiquette bitch were here to weigh in. She does a podcast on etiquette, and she was nice enough to give us a call.
Hey, TNT, this is the etiquette bitch calling. And in answer to your question, when is it appropriate to text versus when is it appropriate to call? It's actually situational. Here's some ground rules, though. If it's personal or important, such as if you want to break up with someone or you need to fire someone, do not do it by text. Either get them live on the phone, call them, or do it face-to-face. If you are going back and forth too many times via text, or if it's a confusing message, call them on the phone, okay? The ground rule or the guideline for that is more than three times back and forth, pick up the phone. And then finally, if you don't want to be intrusive, for instance, you know someone's out at dinner with their in-laws, send them a text. Overall, use your best judgment and put yourself in the recipient's shoes before you text or call. Is it going to be rude? Is it going to be intrusive? Can I wait? Use those as your guidelines. Thanks a lot, guys. Look forward to your next show.
I think there's one problem with that.
What's the problem?
Is using your best judgment and being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I mean, how many people can actually do that?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't need the advice if you're, I guess, right. If we thought we were using. But I like the three times rule. Like if you've gone back and forth more than three times on something, that's about the right time to pick up the phone. Like, hey, let's just call.
I prefer about seven.
Really? You're a sevener?
Yeah.
I'll keep that. See, now I know. That's good. If when I'm texting you,
and text
I'll let
me,
it go a few
text
more
me,
times.
Don't call me. I'll call you.
I also have one other rule that I have to throw
don't
in.
Don't call me. I'll call Kiki, you.
Kiki's obviously never going to call us, so we're just going to be texting like, hello. I have one other rule to throw in, and this applies for email, too. Never text or email bad news. Always pick up the phone. And if it's good news and you want to text it, that's fine, but never bad news.
Yeah, I think that's a good, that's an expansion on the, you know, if somebody died or you're breaking up or you're firing, that's all bad news. You don't text that.
Yeah. But even in like your boss or something like that, I would never text my boss to say, oh, gee, I just couldn't get it done. Always call, because at least then you can explain and you can have some emotion and some empathy going back and forth. Otherwise, it comes out of the blue and there's no empathy and they're pissed.
Yeah, if it's something like that, you just don't admit it at all and blame your coworkers.
Good call. Good call. Love right? that.
Okay. On to the email to TNT at twit.tv. For our call for our email from Cynthia says, when you were talking about Facebook ads, I remembered this from a few months ago. I got an ad that said, meet Catholic men who also like Harry Potter. This was a dating ad that popped up on my Facebook page. Earlier in the day, I had chatted with a friend about the qualifications of a nun and to someone else about the new Harry Potter movie. I thought it was the funniest yet scariest ad I'd ever seen. I wish I would have screen grabbed it.
Yeah.
Genius marketing.
But the question is, Cynthia, did you click on it?
Where did it take you?
And did you meet these fabled Catholic men who like Harry Potter?
When I first read it, I don't know, I had some switch about dyslexia. I thought it said, meet a hairy man who like Catholic Potters.
What?
That has never come up in my feed.
Wow.
Yet.
That's too detailed of an ad.
I'm going to wait for that ad. I'm going to look for it.
And also, we forgot to talk about it when we talked about the Australia iPhone censorship, but Chris pointed out that the Australian elections are tomorrow from the time that we're recording this, and the EFA has a breakdown of technology policies of the major parties there. If you go to efa.org.au/AUSvotes2010, you can see where everybody stands on the tech questions and pick your favorites.
Tom, I have so much respect for you. You know when tomorrow is in Australia?
It's today.
Well, tomorrow is today, but today is tomorrow, and tomorrow is tomorrow and tomorrow.
I just never, it makes
creeps
my head hurt.
This petty price from day to day to the last
syllable
of
recorded time.
And on that Shakespearean note, thank you for watching. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can call us 260-TNT-SHOW, or you can email us, TNT@twit.tv. We'll see you later.